Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is still Jerry Peretzman.
Hasn't been ejected yet. It was a great session.
Wasn't it good?
Showing how volunteerism is important and what you can do and what support organizations are giving to volunteers, which I think is so important.
Well, what they mentioned towards the end, it's so important, volunteerism, one, for the person who's volunteering, but so many of these organizations, especially the not-for-profits, they're pushed. Their budgets are getting tighter and tighter. They need help. At the end of the day, they need help.
Yeah.
Now, talking about help, right, we have our next guest here, who is Dr. Maria Carney. And Dr. Carney is Chief of Geriatrics and Palliative Medicine at Northwell Health, which is the new name for North Shore LIJ, right, about a month ago.
Yeah, in January.
Oh, January.
It officially became Northwell Health System.
Yeah. Okay.
The signs are coming up everywhere now.
Yeah, they're coming up quicker than I thought. They really are popping up fast.
And I'm enjoying it. It's a good name. I think it's forward thinking.
Yeah, it really is.
Very positive approach to health, right?
Yes.
Dr. Carney, it's about 4 years ago I met Dr. Carney. We did the first Project SAFE at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at Shelter Rock. And John Kamen was the supervisor.
Yep.
Judy Bosworth was the legislator, and Jack Martins was the senator, and they were all at it. And so was Michelle Schimmel. And I do remember it was Casey, who I believe reached out to you. Casey Myers,
yes,
from Project Independence.
Yes, we met there at that day.
And, you know, it was talking about financial abuse. And I've gone on forever, which when you were talking about what it does to a person,
mm-hmm,
how, you know, you steal somebody's money, but how it affects them physically and mentally, et cetera. It's a life-changing event, and it really was a tremendous thing.
Yeah, it's actually financial abuse. There are different forms of elder abuse, mm-hmm, but financial abuse being one of them is the most common form of abuse of older adults.
Right.
It's more easily done. And when a person recognizes it, it begins to identify their vulnerabilities. Mm. And it can be extremely sad, and it can change a person's life from that,
right,
point on.
You know, I have a degree in gerontology and a post in thanatology, which is the study of death. And one of the things I learned, which happens, assumptive reality, that you assume every time you go in, you trust somebody. When you take that away from somebody, which is a trust, and especially if you're in your 80s,
right,
you know, you don't bounce back. A younger person can let it go and move on. Somebody who's 85 years old and gets taken advantage of.
You know, and I was listening to your conversation earlier, and there are some incredible, gifted, trusting, wonderful people that want to help others. But the factor is that the individual in need of assistance has to be able and willing to accept some assistance.
Right.
And when you have a trust lost, like a financial abuse episode,
mm-hmm, yep,
that ability to trust someone else or allow someone to help you gets hurt. And then people's care becomes
impacted. Or gets its heart to feel the next person comes around is going to have an honest relationship with you.
Right. And that's when you have to start thinking about surrounding yourself with those you trust.
Right.
Living closer to people you need to help you that you trust.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits really in a town like North Hempstead of Project Independence.
Yes.
And now with their circle of support, trying to get a senior to get this circle around them before something happens. Who do you trust for medicine? Who do you trust for finances? Who do you trust for socialization? Excuse me. And then your adult children will know that and say, oh, what happened to mommy? And let's reach out to Dr. Carney, because I know Dr. Carney's her number one, physician.
And the town of North Hempstead is home to many communities that are multi-generational, meaning parents, children, grandchildren are living within the same communities. And you promote having community centers, programs that treat multi-generations to keep right. your loved ones near. Mm.
I was at a program, and then we have to get back to the...
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I can keep going.
This is a freewheeling discussion, right? Because sometimes things come out of here that are more important than the subject itself, you know? Yeah.
In Great Neck, where Tom DiNapoli was being honored by the Chamber of Commerce, and another woman was being honored, Judy Littner, who works in Great Neck. She has a travel agency. Her family's, she met her husband in the local high school, okay, in Great Neck North. Her three kids went to Great Neck North, and now they're married from people, and their kids are getting, well, they're younger, but they're going to.
It's there, like, you go.
As the first person I came across that literally has been there, you know, multi-generational, they know everybody in the town.
They're real legacies.
Real legacy people.
Right, that's something when
they said it the other night, it hit me. I'm saying, boy, I never knew this, and now you're repeating it. Right, it's the truth. And that's happening, I'm sure, not just in Great Neck, it's all throughout
the
town.
But you have to give Project Independence a lot of credit for... focusing and highlighting scams that impact seniors.
Right.
I've seen some of the programs, some of the things in the in our periodic materials that really highlight that and alert seniors, I think, the fact that you can trust people, but as Ronald Reagan said, trust and verify.
I don't Project Independence.
However you may be politically, I mean, it's
Project Independence is an incredibly forward-thinking resource for a community. And I, as a healthcare provider that focuses my care on older adults, having that as a resource to help our patients that are complex is enormous resource. So I don't know that the community realizes how great Project Independence is. Not many communities have this available.
No, I agree. It's amazing. And it's something that Judy Bosworth, the supervisor, what you're saying about scams, she's into it, she wants it. You know, you try to put your best foot forward to prevent, you know, it's easier to do something, head it off at the pass before it becomes an epidemic, which is perfect with you, Nancy.
Yeah. Yep.
Now we're going to get to what we're talking about.
Back to the topic.
Yeah. Right.
Epidemic. Now we have to get to Dr. Connie.
Okay, sure.
Well, the main topic today is seniors dealing with the summer as it comes along.
Yes.
Lots of issues. In fact, just the other day, the town of North Hempstead is going to be commencing their Fun Day Mondays in a couple of weeks. And part of it this year is they're going to have the nature trail opened, which is down there. And somebody brought up mosquitoes.
Yes.
Which is an issue. It's not the town issue, but it's an issue. So it's more your issue to say, how does somebody protect themselves? I mean, you just, you know.
So the summer months are, we need to prevent and prepare for the summer months because there are several issues. Mosquitoes is getting a lot of attention because of the Zika virus we're hearing about. And every summer we also deal with West Nile virus illness, and we try to prevent it. And as we get older, our immunity naturally kind of slows down. So our ability to fight off infections that mosquitoes can provide weakens. So to prevent and prepare for mosquitoes is both to keep standing water away from your living arrangements, because interestingly enough, mosquitoes can only travel about 200 feet. So if you are spending most of your time at home or wherever you spend most of your time, make sure that you do not have standing water there for mosquitoes to lay eggs and grow and multiply. But then in terms of preventing bites from mosquitoes, mosquito repellent, looking for products with DEET on it. Getting DEET.
Okay.
And you can see that on the... the labels very easily. That is the best repellent product. Different brands have mosquito repellent, have DEET
within it. So long as that ingredient is in it.
Correct.
Okay.
And then avoiding times when the mosquitoes are out most, from dawn, when the sun goes down, to when the sun comes up. Mosquitoes are out mainly in the darker times. So... wearing long sleeves, long pants, trying to avoid being out when the mosquitoes are out, and protecting yourself using mosquito repellent. But we want to protect yourself because of illness, West Nile virus, and now Zika, which is mainly, we're talking about pregnant women. But there are some thoughts of Guillain-Barré syndrome that Zika virus has been associated with, but we still don't know a lot about Zika virus, but we need to protect ourselves from mosquitoes.
I'm not putting you on the spot. Zika virus is only in the islands, or I'm confused?
So Zika virus is spreading. Zika virus is a virus that is spread through the bite of a mosquito, and then a person gets the illness, and then once you have the illness, mosquitoes can bite you and transmit it to other people. And it was first identified in Brazil, and it's been moving up through the Caribbean and Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands. Florida's preparing, but we need to be prepared we are getting
it. It's moving north, in effect. Yeah.
So it's. I think we should all be prepared that it's going to be coming through our country.
Yeah.
But if you're traveling to these areas, you could get it, and you could potentially bring it here during mosquito months. So,
okay, that's right.
Can I ask you a simple question? Yeah. If you get a mosquito bite, you know it's wrong to scratch. That creates infection.
Correct.
Is there anything you could do to ease the discomfort?
The inflammation?
Yeah.
There's some topical steroids, over-the-counter hydrocortisone that you can sometimes put on the bite to calm it down. But the real concern is to, when you scratch it, which makes it feel good, is that you break the skin and you could create an infection. So you have to watch. And if you start seeing the redness, maybe putting an antibacterial lotion on it. But for the bite, some people use over-the-counter hydrocortisone to just calm it down.
But a normal mosquito bite is... have no significance, right? Am I wrong?
No, it's
an annoyance. Nothing
it's
but
just an annoyance.
Unless it's carrying a disease like a Zika. Other than that, just
sometimes you want to scratch it, and scratch because it makes it feel better.
Correct. Scratching makes it feel better, but in general, you try to avoid it,
let it pass.
Minimize the annoyance, let it pass, and the vast majority of mosquito bites will not be any concern to anybody.
Okay. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to go to our first break already. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org, and we'll be right back with Dr. Carney.